Good morning. The first lesson is found in Acts 8, verses 26 through 40. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandaki, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 22, verses 25 through 31. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, "He has done it." The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, We are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words that I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated, and at this time I'd like to invite Jolynn to come forward for our children's chat.
I know there's a few of you here today. All right, while they're coming up, I got to get ready for my role today. Okay, got my little hat on. I got my little pruning shears here. Okay, so part of our verse today that we just heard read was Jesus was talking to his disciples, the people that he knew, his friends that he loved so much, and he was telling them how they were going to be. Okay? And so the first part of the verse Jesus says, he says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. Well, I'm going to pretend I'm a gardener today because I got my hat on. Does that make me a gardener? Jason says it does. My tomatoes may tell you otherwise. Okay, so here I've got some plants and I'm going to do some pruning because I've got some parts here that are just, oh, they're just not doing anything. So the pruner comes along and they cut them off, okay? Oh, we got some more. This isn't doing anything here. I'm going to cut that off. How about this one? Is anything growing on it? No, it needs to go too. Okay, so we're told too, if we go further in that verse that was just read, that sometimes the gardener will trim back other parts of the plant too, so that it can produce fruit. So we've got some grapevines here, and I want them to produce some fruit, so I'm going to clip them, prune it back just a little bit. Okay, so I've got these parts here. Do we need these anymore? No, we really don't, so I'm going to discard them here. Oh, this one needs to be trimmed back. Okay, just like that. Okay, so these pieces that are down on the ground.
Might as well trim.
Al thinks I should trim the whole thing, but we're going to leave it right here. Too much is probably not a good thing. So will these parts grow anymore? Well, yes, because once they're cut off, they're not going to grow anymore. Even the good stuff that was trimmed off, it's not going to grow back anymore. Will this produce any fruit? It won't produce any fruit because it's down on the ground. So the Bible verse tells us that they just gather up all this stuff, and they throw it in the fire. They get rid of it altogether. So who was the vine? Remember, Jason? The vine was Jesus. And who is the gardener in the Bible verse? Well, God is the gardener. Again, he trimmed it back. So he cut away the dead branches and the ones that weren't producing any fruit. Now, once those branches are down on the ground, they're not going to produce anything. They're just going to get thrown into the fire. So we want to stay attached to the vine where it can grow for a long, long time and produce fruit. So how do we be a good vine? We are kind to our friends. We're kind to our siblings. We obey our parents. We stay in God's word. And we pray and we worship. And that helps us stay connected to the vine, which is Jesus. Okay, so we have a repeat after me prayer. That means you too. Okay, dear God, you are the vine of life. Help us stay connected to you. We are your branches. Help us bear spiritual fruit and share with others around us. Bear spiritual fruit and share with others around us. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you for joining us. All right, kids, let's go on to Kids Church, okay?
Amen. Thank you, JoLynn. I don't know about you, but after some tough gardening, you know the way to end a good gardening? A barbecue. Today's a good day for a barbecue, so I will be brief, but it is a joy and a privilege to be with you this morning as we bring our Make Disciples series to a close. If you would, as we begin, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the one that prune us. You are the one that causes us to bear fruit. You are the one that causes us to grow and to flourish. But Lord, may we be grafted into you. May we draw near to you. May we stay close to you. May we walk in obedience to you. May we choose this day to be disciples. And in so choosing to be a disciple, may we also make disciples because you love us. We pray these things in your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, as I just mentioned, we are concluding our series. It feels like it's been... I can't believe summer's done. Kids went back to school. There's a little bit of disappointment and excitement simultaneously about going back to school. But summer is drawing itself to a close. If only somebody would tell the temperature that we're turning the corner. That would be ideal. But we're finishing up our series. We've kind of done one big series, but really it's been three pieces. You walk inside Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and you see on the wall as you walk in, love God, love others, and make disciples. Here it is right up on the wall, love God, love others, make disciples. At the core, at its foundation, we need to understand and know that is born out of God's love for us. If we want to love him, we need to let him love us first. If we want to love others, we need to let him love us first. If we want to make disciples, we need to let him love us first. So here we're going to have a little bit of a recap on our make disciples, but I want you to have some recall over the whole summer. And it's not going to be something that, oh, well, check the box, we're done with love God, love others, make disciples. Absolutely not. It is something that we don't just see when we walk in the building. It is something rather, Lord, put it into practice. Let it become part of who we are. As we walk outside of this building, may it become our actions. May it become how we care for our community, our families, our coworkers, those that we come across every single day. Lord, may we bear fruit. We just read in John 15 that when we bear fruit, as we are grafted in, it is for the Father's glory as we walk in obedience as disciples. So as our quick recap, we had a lot of reading this morning. Thank you, Yvonne, for all the reading. These passages in Acts chapter 8, in Psalm 22, and in 1 John chapter 4, there's a lot there, and I'm actually going to encourage you, challenge you, invite you, spend time this week reading those passages. See how God might speak to you and invite you into discipleship, and invite you into the disciple-making process of walking in relation with others. So, as kind of our recap and as our challenge for this morning, I want us to consider a few things. One is that discipleship is something that begins, The discipleship journey begins with us choosing to be a disciple. We read in Acts chapter 8 this amazing encounter that Philip has with the Ethiopian in a chariot. The Ethiopian is there reading a passage from the scroll of Isaiah, and Philip was already a disciple. Philip was following Jesus. So one of the things we want to keep in mind, Philip was available, he was listening, and he was obedient. As Philip was available, he was following Jesus. He had made the decision to be a disciple and made himself available to God's will, purpose, and plan. And then he began to listen. And in this case, the Spirit spoke to him and said, I want you to go to the road that is between Jerusalem and Gaza. I want you to go to the road. And Philip listened, and he was obedient, and he went. At that point, that's all we know. He gets to the road, and the Spirit prompts him again, there, that chariot, go stand near the chariot. So Philip, being available, following Jesus, listening and acting in obedience, goes to the chariot. And lo and behold, there's this Ethiopian. Now, we see the way in which here in Acts that the good news of Jesus has begun to flourish around the community, and eventually it becomes global. But we see it at work because God's heart, remember, is to bring all of creation, all of humanity, Jews and Gentiles alike, to hear the good news of Jesus. And here is the Ethiopian reading the scroll of Isaiah. Was he a Jewish believer? No. Did he grow up in a Jewish household? Had he had a childhood where he was raised, as we learned a few weeks ago, under Moses' instruction, that he should every day walk and talk and learn about God? No, but God was at work, and Philip was there. He was available, he was listening, and he was obedient. And he said, oh, what is it that you're reading? Well, I'm reading from the scroll of Isaiah. Oh, what is it? Tell me what it means. How am I supposed to know unless somebody tells me? And Philip, because he was available, obedient, and listening, he hops in the chariot and tells him about what he was reading. He didn't change the subject. He stayed right where the Ethiopian was already reading. And guess what? The scroll of Isaiah was pointing to Jesus. And it opened a perfect door for Philip to be able to tell him about Jesus. And then the next perfectly logical course of action, what is it that would keep me from being baptized today? So there, as they are traveling, they come across the road, and Ethiopian is baptized. Praise be to God. He gave his life to the Lord. And then we're seeing it again and again and again, the way in which God was at work. So discipleship, this journey, begins with us being a disciple. And as we choose to be a disciple, God will give us the opportunity to make disciples. May we remember this morning that we're not called to simply reach a destination called discipleship. Rather, we are called to live a life of discipleship. Second idea that we want to touch on this morning is that discipleship is something that we pass on. We see this in the psalm as the psalmist, and again, this is a beautiful thing we see in Acts chapter 8, which is part of the New Testament, the New Covenant, but the Ethiopian is reading the scroll of Isaiah, words that had been scribed and written by his prophet Isaiah. And here the psalmist is writing the scroll of Isaiah and the Psalms. What is it that they are pointing to? Well, they're pointing to Jesus. They're pointing to God's rescue plan. They're pointing to God's desire to bring all of humanity into right relationship with God the Father through Jesus. And the psalmist is talking about and pointing out that there's a generational thing that is at work. When we encounter God, for posterity, we experience God, we proclaim God to the next generation. The next generation receives the experience and the encounter and the reality of God. And what does the next generation do? The next generation proclaims it to the next and to the next and to the next. As the disciples, we have a responsibility to pass the good news of Jesus on, to speak it to the next generation. Discipleship should always also have, we've heard this several times, this discipleship journey as this generational proclamation of the good news of the gospel. Discipleship should always have someone in front of us and someone behind us. Someone that we are willing to trust and allow to speak into our lives as we speak into the lives of someone else. Third idea that we need to speak to make mention of, and that is crucial. And one could argue that it should really be embedded into everything that we do, and that would be the foundation. We've talked about love God, love others, make disciples, all being under the umbrella of God loving us first. Let it not just be the umbrella that all these things are underneath, but rather let it be the foundation upon which our relationship with God is based upon, where we build our discipleship, where we build our lives. And this foundation of discipleship is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, one of the Bible study habits that you can have as you're doing a word study, look for repetition. And that's one of the signs that you can say, hey, there's something I should be paying attention to here. And here in these verses, 7 through 21, well, it's you don't have to be a biblical scholar to see the repetition that we found about love. And we encounter what is it that we're understanding, what truth is spoken, what foundation do we encounter? Well, we love because He first loved us. We do not begin the discipleship journey trying to earn God's love. We do not read the Bible, pray, serve, witness, or make disciples so that God will accept us. Rather, we begin with the truth, the reality of what God has already done. He loved us first. God's love was revealed to us in Jesus Christ, as we read in 1 John chapter 4. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be an atoning sacrifice. An atoning sacrifice to make us right with the Father. He sent His Son because He loved us that much. John makes it abundantly clear and draws this connection. If we love God, we will also love others. Part of our discipleship process is to let God love us, and in that love relationship, to love others. Discipleship is about caring for others. And some of the things that happen as we experience God's love, because of what we know, and because when we know that we are loved by God, well, we can love without fear. We can serve without needing recognition. That's the word I was looking for. We can forgive. We can invest in others. We can share Jesus. We love because He first loved us. Now, going to bring it all together in John chapter 15, because we encounter the clarity, the good news of God's love for us, the way in which Jesus speaks to us with a powerful word, and that is discipleship is about us abiding in Him, abiding in Christ, being grafted into the vine. It's made pretty abundantly clear. Jesus, in fact, says, you know, apart from me, you can do, does it say, apart from me, you can do a little bit less? No. Does it say, apart from me, well, if you work hard enough, you'll eventually be able to accomplish a few things? No. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Outside of Jesus, we can do nothing of eternal consequence. But in Christ Jesus, when we are grafted in, when we are in and abiding in Christ, we will bear fruit. We will grow and flourish, and we will proclaim the good news of Jesus to all the world. And as we bear fruit, I always have this image, whether it's here in John 15 with being grafted into the vine, or when it talks about, when Paul is talking about spiritual fruit being born in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. When we bear fruit, what is the purpose of fruit? Well, to bring nourishment, to bring sustenance, to bring life. That which God bears in us because of His love for us is brought to the world to bring nourishment and sustenance and life in Jesus' name. John 15 ends that beautiful passage with, for the Father's glory we bear fruit as we are His disciples. So it poses the question then, how might we abide in Christ? Those of us that kind of, we want our checklist, we want our to-do list, we want to challenge ourselves and say, well, I long to abide with the Lord. What is it that I can put into practice? I mentioned a few weeks ago, practice makes progress. I think it's a wonderful thing to put things of faith into practice. Well, here's the things that we can do to put into practice. If we long to be obedient, going to Philip, we want to be available, we want to be listening, and we want to be obedient. Well, some things that we can do, we can be in His Word. To be in God's Word is not about having more information, but rather to be able to consume God's Word, as it talks about in Psalm 119, that His Word becomes, I hide His Word in my heart. It becomes part of me. It's inside of me. It's working from the inside out. And what does it do? Well, it keeps me from sinning. It's not about having more information, but rather allowing God's Word to transform us, not just inform us. Another thing that we need to do to abide is to be in prayer. To be in prayer, prayer is not about talk, 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 but it's about listening. It's about relationship. It's about going to the throne room of God and what a privilege it is to be in His presence. And He longs for us to bring the big things as well as the little things, to pray first and pray always about all things. We don't want it to just be something that we give lip service to, but rather to be people of prayer, to be individuals of prayer, to be a church of prayer, to be a community of prayer. And speaking of community, that's the third thing that we can do if we long to abide with Christ, is to be in Christian community. We see that how in 1 John chapter 4, it talks about if you love God, then you will love others. If we are letting God love us, we will know how to love others. But in that Christian community, we need people who will love us. We need people that we can love. In that discipleship process, we need to have people that disciple us as we also disciple others. Christian community is not an option. Lone wolf Christianity is not found in God's Word. We want to be obedient, and we want to be listening, and we want to be available. So the fourth thing is that obedience, like Philip, a willingness to say, you know what, this may not always be convenient. This may not be what I have planned today, but I'm going to be obedient to God. And as I am being obedient to God, Philip probably didn't have plans to go to the road between Jerusalem and Gaza that day. Philip probably didn't have plans to get inside the chariot and go and baptize the Ethiopian eunuch that day. But he was willing to be obedient, and God used him in a profound way. He was grafted in, and he bore fruit, and he was seen as a disciple. And we need to live in the place of God's love, that foundation, knowing full well that he loved us first. That is at the core. Now, as I just previously had said, sometimes we just want to have our checklist. I don't want you to leave this place with thinking this morning, well, I've got my checklist, I'm ready to go. Rather, I want us to see not just the things that we can put into practice, but I want you to see and understand and know beyond the shadow of a doubt the truth that has nothing to do with what you will put into practice, but rather, even before you put things into practice, you are loved by God. You do not have to earn his love. In Jesus, God has already drawn near to you. Stay connected to the Father. Stay connected to Jesus. And as we stay connected to Jesus, we will receive his love, we will grow in his word, and we will walk with his people. As we conclude our sermon series this summer, may we simply be reminded that we need to make the choice to be disciples. We need to, as we make the choice to be disciples, that we also take serious the invitation, the charge to make disciples. And above all else, may we abide in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.